Welcome to the Creative Empire Podcast. Each week, Raina Pomeroy, the life and biz success coach, and Christina Scalera, the attorney for creatives, are taking you up close and personal with successful influencers in the creative community and tackling your biggest business hurdles. Their mission is to help you, creative entrepreneurs, think beyond your daily biz so you can make the brave decisions that build your creative empire.
Hey, hey, everyone. Welcome to the Creative Empire Podcast. It's Raina and Christina here, and today we have a special treat for you. So we're talking to Heidi Thompson, who is the best-selling author of Clone Your Best Clients and the founder of Evolve Your Wedding Business, where she specializes in business and marketing strategy for wedding professionals. So I know there's a lot of you out there, and this one's going to be especially good for you. She helps wedding professionals grow their businesses and reach their goals without going crazy in the process, which is exactly what all of us want, right? So welcome to the show, Heidi. We're really delighted to have you and to talk about cloning your best clients.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. This is going to be a fun conversation. So tell us a little bit about your business, where you are, what you've been doing, and like, how did you get into this wedding marketing strategy stuff?
So if you want to take it way back, when I was in college and shortly after, I was working on events for nonprofits. And I absolutely love the event planning, but the nerd in me was like, oh, this marketing stuff, this is awesome. And I loved working with events. I started, working in the wedding industry under the tutelage of another wedding planner. And I give all the wedding planners of the world so much credit because that is such a high stress job. And I honestly don't know how you guys do it sometimes. But I found that, okay, being a wedding planner, not really a fit for what I'm looking for, but I really love this marketing stuff. I was working in marketing for years. I've marketed everything from software to literally poop. And I found that when I was living in the UK, where I lived for 6 years, that what was showing up in the magazines, in the wedding media, in bridal shows was in direct opposition to what people were actually doing. People were doing more personal things. They were doing more offbeat bride, rock and roll bride type, alternative kinds of things. So I started a wedding fair in London to bring together these awesome, quirky vendors who are just like the most creative people I've ever met in my life. And people who wanted something different. And it was such an awesome success to see these people come together and actually, find their people on both ends. But that's when I realized that not everybody reads marketing books for fun, because I was spending a lot of my time helping the vendors at my wedding shows get the most out of it and how they could, generate more leads, how they could follow up better. So that's really when I realized I needed to merge this world of marketing with the wedding industry.
And you bring a really unique perspective on it. You have a best-selling book, you have a podcast as well. And it's interesting because you approach it from this different than most people do, right? Like, people get kind of stuck in that pattern where they commit to being a wedding planner, say, and then they keep going for that same thing. And you were able to hone in on your strengths and really listen to your body or yourself and figure out what it is that you're good at and get rid of the rest, which is not easy to do. I mean, it's easy to do in hindsight, but it's not easy to do in that moment. So what are some of the things that you love about marketing, especially in this industry?
So something that's really interesting in the wedding industry is that you typically have one-time clients, and they may refer people, they may, come back to you for an unrelated event, but chances are they are going to get married once with you and that's it. You don't have that kind of repeat business that you have in a lot of other industries. And that's strange. There aren't that many industries that are like that. So it presents some really interesting challenges, which I find to be really fun to work around. And in addition to that, the people that you're working with are people who've typically never done this before, or maybe they did this before, but it was like 20 years ago and they're getting married again. So there is this huge opportunity for education as part of your marketing. And I think anytime you can make your marketing useful, it's going to resonate so much more than just, you know, the work with me, work with me. Have you hired me yet?
Tell us what that means. What does it mean to make your marketing useful?
So an example, there are a lot of misconceptions that people have about wedding planners. You know, they might think that because their venue has a venue coordinator, they don't need a wedding planner. That kind of topic is the perfect topic to address in, you know, blog posts, videos, whatever it is, and provide some education around, okay, this is what a venue coordinator does, and this is how they're going to support you, and this is how they're not going to support you. And this is what a wedding planner does and how they're going to support you and not support you. So really, it gives you an opportunity to step in and take them by the hand and give them exactly what they need, even though they don't know exactly what they need yet.
So what are some of the things that you see commonly where people, maybe they're missing it or they just don't have enough experience yet? So help our listeners out if they're in that spot and they don't know what they need yet. What are they missing?
Do you mean if they don't know what they need or if their clients don't know what they need?
Either. I mean, so I would love to get into the client aspect of this, because that's one thing that you're really good at, is honing in on what this client process looks like for these vendors and, you know, how they could maybe improve it to maybe improve their conversion rate. So yeah, what are the gaps that you see in this client process that from either side?
I think because, you know, we've all been in what we do for years, there is this whole curse of knowledge that comes along with it. We assume that everybody knows what we know and that they understand what we understand. And it can create a lot of frustration. And in some cases, it can breed a lot of resentment when a person doesn't understand the value that you provide. But, you know, it's not because they don't think you're worth it. It's that they don't know. You know, they've never had a need for someone like you. They may not know what someone like you even does. So that's where I really love this educational component that you can use as part of your marketing, to not just assume that like people don't want to work with you because they just don't get it. A lot of times it's the case that, you know, they may be a perfect client for you, but they just don't understand yet, you know, what the difference is between you and a venue coordinator or you and another photographer. And that is our jobs as business owners, which I think we often forget, to educate people and really showcase, you know, what it is that sets us apart from everyone else and why someone would choose us as opposed to someone else.
Yeah. And I think that clarity, I think, comes from doing some of the work. It comes from like being able to practice articulating what it is that you do for people, right? And I think a lot of people don't have either a way to practice that or the audience to even talk to. What are your suggestions for people who are struggling with figuring out how to get those people to talk to?
So if you have previous clients, they are an absolute gold mine for marketing research. And I think, you know, of all of the marketing, you know, tips and tactics out there, this is one of the easiest things you can do. And it is probably the most overlooked thing you can do. Look back, look at who your best clients have been and talk to them. I actually encourage my clients to interview their previous clients and find out, you know, okay, why did you choose me instead of someone else? You know, what else were you looking at? What pushed you over the edge? Because a lot of times the thing that sets you apart is something that you're kind of blind to yourself, because so many times it has more to do with who you are as a person and just your style and the way that you come across. And that's really, really hard to notice about yourself. I know it's hard for me to notice about myself. So when I ask people, you know, why they decided to work with me, I'm always like, really? That's the thing? Okay. All right. If that's what you say, I mean, that's what I need to bring out more in my marketing.
Yeah, that's so interesting because we need that mirror. What you're saying is that like we don't see those things for ourselves. Those are the blind spots. And so we need our clients and for me, like my mastermind, to tell me this is what I see for you and you need to amplify this a little bit more. You need to turn the heat up on it a little bit more because people are excited about that part and they're really engaging with that piece of you and the way that you work or whatever. So the first thing I heard was talk to your ideal clients and what does that actually look like? So should somebody send a survey? Should they get on a call with them? Do they talk to them on Facebook or Instagram? What is your suggestion for what it actually looks like to talk to your ideal client?
So the ideal is to get on a call with them because when you're talking, when you're just in stream of consciousness, that's when, you know, you allow yourself to just go on tangents and change the subject mid-sentence. And you can find a lot of gold in that, especially in terms of, you know, what people really care about deep down. There's just something about when we're writing, whether it's in an email or in a survey, we edit ourselves a lot and we try to sound more succinct. And we don't do that thing where, you know, you interrupt yourself mid-sentence. And you're like, you know, it's like this, but not like this. And then I talk to this person. You don't get that kind of, I guess the word is like candidness from written communication. So I really love to have people, and I do this myself in my business, you know, hop on a Skype call, hop on a phone call, and, you know, you can go through a set of questions with them and just listen. And of course, you know, listening means digging deeper too. So if they tell you something like, oh, I just really wanted, you know, my wedding to look different. So that's why I hired you because your event design, all of your portfolio, it just looked different. Okay, that's good, but why? Because chances are there's going to be some other kind of internal motivation behind that. And maybe it's the case that they've been to five of their friends' weddings in the last 2 years, and it was like the same thing over and over again, and it was super boring, and they don't want that. So that sentence even right there, it gives you so much to play with when talking about why someone should work with you.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So when you get that information, what do you turn around and do? For me, I would probably like fine tune that, put it in a Google spreadsheet or Google Doc or whatever and start creating copy around it. But what is your suggestion for how to, I mean, the end result is get more of the same people, right? People who you love to work with. How can you get more of those people?
Yeah. So definitely keeping track of all of it. Like you said, Raina, in a spreadsheet, that's a great way, you know, anywhere you can just dump all of these word for word quotes. Don't clean them up. Don't, you know, change the language because what people are telling you is what resonated with them. And you, if you start to jargon it up, it's not going to have the same kind of impact as, you know, something like, do you want a wedding that isn't as boring as everybody else's? As you know, I mean, you could jargon that up and say, you know, like it's unique and one of a kind, but that's not what they told you they wanted. They wanted something not boring like what everyone else was doing. So
wait, I want to highlight that because you're so spot on. I see this a lot with wedding photographers.
Oh, yeah.
And they say something like, oh, yeah. I'm curious what you see. But they want to capture a beautiful moment or something like that. I'm like, yeah, of course. But is that what people are actually saying? And I'd be curious to hear like what big mistakes you're seeing in terms of people's copy or in terms of people's marketing.
Yeah, so it's either just straight up assumptions. So I'm a wedding planner, so people hire me because they're too busy. Okay, well, that might be a part of it, but that might not be the main reason. So if you aren't connecting with them on the problem they want you to solve, they're not going to hire you. And then, like you said, when you feel the need to really, in order to come across as professional, you know, jargon things up and make it so that it didn't come out of a person's mouth, which is really strange when you actually try to read it back. It just creates a disconnect. And that's the most important thing. If you cannot connect your solution to the client's problem, they're not going to buy because they don't see you as, oh my God, I need to work with this person. They are the perfect person for me. You know, it's just going to be that, okay, yeah, they're another photographer. I'm just going to review these 7 photographers and we'll see what happens when I talk to them. But I really encourage you to not change what people say. They are literally telling you what to say to attract people who are just like them. So trust them and at the very least, test it and see what happens.
Okay, so I have a question really quickly. So if somebody doesn't have a lot of clients, or maybe they have clients, but they're not saying the same thing, what should they do?
So what I try to do in that case and what I teach people to do is sometimes you may have a couple different types of people that you attract. And the more that you can look at them as people instead of demographics, the easier this is going to be to parse out. So it might be that they are saying slightly different things, or maybe they value, you know, different sorts of things, but there are bound to be things that they have in common as human beings and in the way that they think, in the way that they act, and, you know, the things that they do. So I would really look for those commonalities. I think one of the biggest problems with the traditional ideal client exercise is that it encourages you to look at your ideal client as a non-human. And especially, you know, in the wedding industry, being a bride, being a groom, that is a role that you are playing for a day. That's not who you are as a human being. And then if you're getting things that, you know, are entirely conflicting, you get to pick who you want to attract more of and what you want to play up about yourself and things that you want to be a little bit more subtle. So you have, you know, ultimate control with how you want to use this information.
That's so interesting. Yeah. I talk with my clients typically about like the ideal client thing, and there's a lot of confusion about what kind of things should be included. And I really differentiate them as demographics and psychographics. And demographics are who somebody is, right? Like the things that make the adjectives, like your sister or your mom or whatever. You live in this part of the country. But then the psychographics are why they buy, like the who they are to the what they buy. And then the why they buy is what's really why it's important. And that's what you're talking about in terms of talking to your ideal clients and asking them what they were, why they were interested in working with you. And so building up that side is, I argue, is more important than knowing what they look like or, you know,
totally
all of that
agree
stuff.
With you. Why have we not talked about this before? This is so good. I like this. I like this binary classification of what we're looking at here. Sorry, I cut you off, Heidi.
I was just going to say, I totally agree with you guys on this because so many people are like, I work with women between 20 and 40 within 50 miles of my local area.
I mean, that's helpful for Facebook ads, but
sure,
not for much else.
Look at your friends. Are all the women between 20 and 40 years old the same person? Because they're probably not. They're probably very different types of people who, you know, maybe some of them shop at Walmart. Maybe some of them hate Walmart and would never be seen there. Maybe some of them buy all of their clothes at Anthropologie and are like super predictable with their style. People are people. Like, you can't really reduce it down to that demographic level and be able to do anything with marketing from it.
When it comes to booking more clients, we know now to look at these demographics versus psychographics. I love that. We know to look at the kinds of clients that we have worked with, get their feedback, use their words, find their pain points, and kind of tease those problems out with new people. But you know, the wedding industry, as you know, Heidi, you've been in it for a long time. It's shifting. And one of the complaints that I hear a lot in 2018, as we're recording this, is that it is getting much, much more difficult to book clients. And doubtless it's because there's more education available than ever before. It's ultimately, I think, a good thing that we have access to the tools and the resources that we want. I mean, you're a great educator. You have great platforms. We educate people through this podcast. There's very specific educational tools for your industry, whether you're a photographer or wedding planner, or even more niche than that, you're looking to improve the lighting in your photos or something. So it's like so easy to find what we're looking for now, as opposed to even 2 or even 3 years ago, when this was much more difficult to do. We just, as an industry, didn't have the same level of sophistication to, or I guess the risk tolerance that we have now for things like Facebook ads and content marketing. And it's just this whole internet game, people have really figured it out. And so it's a good thing, I think, because it gives the marketplace more choice as far as who their service provider will be. But at the same time, it does make it more difficult for some of the people listening to our podcast to book clients, because these clients have more choices than ever before. So what do you see in 2018 as the solution to this? How do you stand out now in an ever-increasing noisy industry, especially when these brides are just going to WeddingWire and opening up 20 tabs and contacting everybody with a mass email? How do you deal with all
that
this?
That is an excellent question. And the market is definitely much more mature than it was in previous years. And the consumers are much more sophisticated than they have been in previous years. You know, when you got married 40 years ago, it was, okay, I need a place to get married. I need a photographer, maybe. But now we can think about how we want that to feel, you know, how we want that experience to be. It's just a different level of that consumer thinking. And you have to up-level yourself along with that. I mean, there's really no way around that. You cannot simply compete on being a photographer. Welcome to the club. There are like a bajillion photographers. You have to set yourself apart in some way. And my focus in teaching people how to hone in on their ideal client is to really think about who you want to be the go-to person for, and building all of your marketing, even your business model, around that person. Because you can't market to everybody anymore. You know, there's too many people, there's too many varying tastes, and people are going to gravitate to people that they like, to people that they feel like understand them and that they are, you know, they have something in common with. And I'm sure you've both probably worked with people or bonded with people over something completely unrelated to the business that, you know, you were dealing with them in, but that just makes you like them that much more. So that's the place that we're at, which is great because you get to use who you are and who you want to be the go-to person for to set yourself apart. So yes, the general market is crowded, but the sub-market of the go-to photographer for tattooed couples who really want to show them off in their wedding photos, there's like nobody there. So if you can be the go-to person for that group of people, they are going to be looking at your website like, take my money. Where do I sign?
I love it. Yeah. And I mean, I think part of it is also finding those gaps in the marketplace. I mean, I've maybe mentioned this on the podcast before. I am reluctantly a second shooter now in weddings, because you do things for the people that you love. And the guy that I am with, and we've been together for 5+ years at this point, he has a passion for photography, and people are just naturally asking him to shoot weddings. And he's like, I need a second shooter. And I exist. I have a camera.
I like that you're I exist.
That was pretty much the criteria, honestly. But yeah, I mean, I think it's funny because his brother's getting married, and like one of the things that I think there's two kind of ways I want to go and ask this and talk about this with you, Heidi, because I'm so interested in your opinion. But one is that Joe, my partner, is getting like tons of inquiries for weddings and things like that because we're lawyers. We have a law firm together, but we're also partners. He just is at a legal event or whatever, and someone will say, oh, hey, so-and-so told me about your Instagram account. I didn't know you were a photographer. My daughter's getting married. Will you shoot her wedding? Like, no consideration for Yelp, for Wedding Wire, for any resource out there. They just like heard about him through like his lawyer friends. And they're like, I want you, because they have no idea who else is out there. Some of them haven't even seen his work. So I think it's interesting because that's something that is completely unrelated to traditional marketing. That's just like him existing and being in the communities that he would normally be in outside of the creative industry. He thinks I'm like cute with this whole thing. He's not really in the creative industry. But the other part of that is that when I mentioned his brothers getting married, it was interesting because my first question to them was, have you looked at photographers yet? Who's going to be your photographer? And he was like, huh? I said, you got to pick your photographer. I mean, they book up, you know, the good ones are all gone because they want to get married in like, you know, 6 or 8 months or something, which is a relatively short time period. But anyway, he goes, oh, we hadn't thought about that. I don't know if we're going to get a photographer. And this is a response that I actually hear a lot. He was also on the fence about getting a wedding planner. And so it's interesting because, you know, with this exposure to lay people, which we can all have, right? Like anybody can put themselves, insert themselves in a situation outside of the creative industry. We did it before we found this podcast, your podcast, right? Like we can put ourselves back in that situation and just kind of look at it from the layperson's perspective. I think that's really helpful. But like, as far as kind of wrapping up everything that we've talked about so far, like how do you make it apparent to someone like my brother-in-law who's getting married and looking for these vendors but doesn't really know why he's looking for these vendors? Like how does somebody out there that's listening that's in the wedding industry or I mean even related client service industries or something, how do they make it painful for the client that doesn't even realize that that client needs that vendor? There are a couple ways
to look at it. So one is, you know, through education, but if they're not searching for, you know, how far out do I need to book my wedding photographer, that's not really going to cut it. And the answer I'm going to give you now is how I really feel. And it's don't. That is not your ideal client. They don't care about what you do. And they're probably going to be more price sensitive. So unless that person is your ideal client, you know, if you like to work with people and you like to take them through this process of figuring out that, oh, wait, they actually do care, you don't have to worry about anybody that isn't your ideal client. It's pretty freeing.
Touche. Mm-hmm. I think being able to say, I don't really care, like, is a powerful thing. Sorry, Christina, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think they do care, but they don't even know like how. And I see this a lot. I should mention, I forget who's an attorney. They're both attorneys and it's like all attorneys. Sorry guys. But this is a problem that I see a lot with my friends that are working, you know, in these jobs that essentially take them away from a personal life from 7 a.m. when they get ready all the way to sometimes midnight, 1 a.m. as they're working their way up through the ranks as, you know, these young professionals. So I don't think it's that they don't care. It's just that one, they're pressed for time and they want the easiest, fastest solution. So they have the money. They're not necessarily price sensitive, but they just like, they don't even know how to care about something or have the time to read about the education. So like, how could somebody get in front of an audience like that? Or maybe
it really depends on if, you know, these are the kind of people you absolutely love to work with, then it's worth figuring out a way to get in front of them. But I would say for everyone, it's not necessarily going to be worth it. And I think when you can look at, you know, the population en masse and look at 20% of the people and just say like, okay, you guys are my people. I really don't care what the other 80% of you do. Like, you guys go live your lives and be happy. I also don't care what you have to say about my work because you're not hiring me. It's so much nicer because you actually have this like freedom to work with who you want to work with. But you know, like I said, if this is someone that you do want to work with, you know that time is an issue. You know that convenience is an issue. So definitely, you know, structuring your marketing around these things that, you know, it's not going to take them a ton of time. Your client experience is just crazy streamlined and they're hardly going to have to deal with you at all. Yeah, I would really look at focusing on that. And then, you know, if it's even if it's like lawyers specifically, or maybe work with a lot of surgeons, you know, people who are at work for insane hours, you could absolutely try creating content around that, like how to, you know, make time to figure this out while you're working 12-hour days, or how to figure out what's important to you while you're figuring out 12-hour days, because you're not going to do all of it.
Yeah, something that just came to me as you were saying this, Heidi, we just interviewed Jordan Gill, who does something completely different. She's an operations specialist for coaches and stuff like that. But her marketing is no longer about creating content because her ideal clients are not online. They're not reading. They're not interested in being educated. They are attending events. They are talking to other people. They are in masterminds. And so what she has had to do, and she's been really frank about this, is she attends events as well, gets connected with the people who are either gatekeepers to her ideal clients, or she just meets her ideal clients at these events. And so her marketing dollars and marketing time are going to something completely really unrelated to the social media game or the content creation game, which I think is so interesting. And if your niche, like what you're saying, Christina, or, you know, I guess in your example, is if those people are not hanging out online, or if they're not looking at Wedding Wire, if they're not, you know, all of these things that we typically think about as wedding professionals, then where are they hanging out and figuring out how to get closer to those people, right? Like in Heidi's example earlier about the tattooed bride kind of thing, they're probably not going to be looking at Pinterest. Maybe they are, but they're probably not. They might have other platforms or channels that they're looking at. And so maybe tapping into those might be more effective. And I'd be curious about your thoughts,
yeah,
Heidi.
And that's a really good point. You know, maybe it's that networking within that industry is your best in. Like, you are by no means required to do all the things or even a lot of the things if they don't work for you. And I think we forget that. I think we forget that we can choose our clients. You know, we can attract the people we want to attract. And I think we forget that we get to choose what we work on. So if, you know, you're really working hard at Instagram and it's just not paying off for you, you know, you've tried everything, maybe it's not the best platform. Maybe it's not the best way to reach your ideal clients. And that's okay. You did the experiment, you got the result, and now you can move on to something else and know that you don't have that burden of, oh, but I got to post on Instagram, even though it's not doing anything for you. So I think really if you can find something that works to bring in your ideal client, whether that's online, offline, maybe it's something weird that's totally unrelated, do more of it, you know, do more of what works. And then, yeah, test things, see how they go. But you, by all means, have the permission to stop doing anything at any time. It's your business.
It's interesting because it's only two things that you really need to have a successful business. And one is a solution mm-hmm. that people want. And the second thing is awareness. So, you know, in the situation with the tattooed bride, the problem isn't necessarily figuring out what your solution is. It sounds like that's pretty easy to figure out. It's gaining her awareness. And then similarly in the situation, the example that I just gave, where there's this entire group of like young professionals, CPAs, lawyers, doctors, just like these people that are completely workaholics in a way that I can't even imagine, you know, trying to get to that next level, make partner, get their name on the sign or the side of the building or whatever. There's all these different audiences out there. And it seems like for a lot of people, they have a solution, but it's maybe not as tailored as it could be to help the audience that they're thinking of. And then it also sounds like maybe the bigger problem that we're also acutely aware of with things like the Instagram algorithm changing, or, you know, Facebook ads getting more expensive, is the issue of awareness and getting ourselves in front of the correct audience. So, you know, if you had three tips to help somebody figure out how to bring more awareness to their brand, just things that they could do in 5 minutes or less, Heidi, what are those three things? What would you say to somebody who is like, I have this cool thing and I have this cool idea, but where do I go? Like, what are some things that they could be doing? Whether that's starting a Google review page or...
So I would absolutely ask what three tips do you have? And, you know, if you don't want to do a whole interview for this, it's going to be a single question that you ask people in an email or in a survey. Ask your best previous clients what social media platforms they use, where they looked to find people. Maybe you're spending a ton of time, you know, doing styled shoots to submit to blogs, but your people don't even read wedding blogs. So guess what? You get to stop doing that and you get to focus on what they actually pay attention to. And I think, you know, you can generalize, you can say like, oh yeah, the wedding industry is huge on Pinterest, which it is. But if your specific person doesn't use Pinterest, then that's kind of irrelevant. So definitely doing that little bit of research, you know, asking the question, where do you even go to research this? I mean, that alone is going to help you so much. Another is really, I think when you can get yourself into the mindset of having to connect the dots. So like you're on one side of the river, your potential clients on the other side of the river, you have to, you know, lay out these stepping stones so that they can get to you. And are there gaps? Are you even laying out the stepping stones in the right direction across the river? I think thinking about that is a really helpful way to look at what you're doing and really analyze where you could be improving, because it's so easy to just get sucked into, but I'm doing the things and I'm not getting the results. Usually there is a relatively small reason why. Maybe it's the way you're doing it. Maybe it's that you are targeting people who just aren't there on that platform. But really being able to take a step back and look at it in that way of having to, you know, really kind of lay out these stepping stones can help you visualize what it is that you need to do, because you can't expect them to just like jump the river and work with you. That's not how people work.
Yeah, this is all really, really helpful. And I appreciate you taking the time to walk us through some of the like finer points of having clients in our life and working with these people and just getting in front of them, figuring out why we would even want to be in front of them by asking them questions, finding the people that you enjoy working with and finding more of those people. That was a great tip, Heidi. You know, as you're looking forward to the future of your creative empire, your business, your books, your podcast.
So my focus,
what do you see and what
really
are you excited
for the rest
about?
Of the year is twofold. I have a membership called the Wedding Business Collective, where I have all of my courses and we do group training, and there's a VIP level for one-on-one coaching as well. There's a whole lot more in that I won't get into, but my focus is really growing that and reaching more people with it, because I've seen it be such a helpful resource. And that, you know, absolutely gives me focus. And when I have that kind of focus, it really helps me map out my own marketing, because I may study marketing, but I'm just like everyone else. If I'm trying to do all the things, I am going to get incredibly scattered. Nothing is going to get done. And on top of that, I'm doing more personal travel this year, which I'm very happy about, not just to go to conferences. I'm actually going places I want to go. So I'm super excited about being able to do that.
Yay for travel. Yeah. So where can people find you? Tell us about your podcast and any freebies that you might have for the wedding industry that could be really helpful.
My website is evolveyourweddingbusiness.com, and the site for that membership I mentioned, where you can also get a 10-day free trial, is theweddingbusinesscollective.com. And like Raina said, I have a podcast called the Evolve Your Wedding Business Podcast, where we talk all things the business of weddings. So if that's something you feel like you could use some help with, you can find that on iTunes or anywhere else that you subscribe to your podcasts.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for being on our show. And everyone out there, go build your creative empire and go clone your best clients.
Are you ready to build your own empire? For more information, show notes, downloads, and tips on how to do it, head to www.creativeempire.co, where you can find out more about this week's episode and the two lovely ladies behind it all, encouraging you to build your own creative empire. If you enjoyed this week's show, it would mean so much to Raina and Christina if you could take 2 minutes to go to iTunes and leave a review. It's a little thing that makes a big difference for the show.